We got to get your take on last Saturday's fight, Joseph. Dylan and Alexander Povetkin. What did you make of the whole situation and the fight itself?
That situation right there, for me, is that that saying comes in where one punch can change everything. That's exactly what happened. I mean, Dylan White was controlling the fight, and I thought that Povetkin was out. I thought that the next round he's going to come out and Povetkin's going to be taken out of there. He's going to be knocked down twice, but it just shows that the last thing that sort of leaves you as a heavyweight or as a fighter is your power. And I mean, he pulled that left uppercut out of nowhere. So, and that changed the whole fight. I mean, that ended the fight.
How amazing would it be if we ranked the top 8 heavyweights right now and they had a proper tournament over 3 years?
Oh, that's sorry, it.
That'll be awesome.
And like someone really big invested in it and it was available to the whole world on a YouTube channel.
It'd be amazing.
You know what?
I think it's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible.
Because it sounds crazy. Because it is possible.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fighters Right, the one, the only, Mr. Gareth A. Davis. How you like that, guy?
I'm good. Listen, I want to apologise, but I've just driven through the heaviest rain I've ever driven through, about 40 miles back from Cambridge. I'm not joking now. You literally had to go really slowly past every other car because the rain was so heavy.
Wow.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal. These are cataclysmic times, gents.
Yep, we're living in
cataclysmic
the end
times.
Days, they call it.
Thank BLM.
The end days. The biblical end days.
Ain't no biblical end days, nothing. Every time when we get something really bad, we think, you know when it was really bad in this country? In the Dick Turpin days. That's when it was bad. And if they thought it was then, it was really bad. So we keep on going on.
I struggled on the highway tonight, Spence. I just struggled on the highway.
Yeah, well, you're here safely right now. You know what? Gareth, it looks really weird that I'm looking at you and you ain't got your glasses on. You know that? The glasses are powerful. The glasses is your look.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, my friend. Give him a wheel off there, Tun.
Come on, yeah. You got him in the mode now. Mr. Telegraph himself.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's the image. That's the shot on Google. That's the one I like. The rock star image.
Yeah. Yeah, looking like Roy Orbison.
Cool. Yes, sir. Cool. Right, let's talk boxing. I should call you really, we should really call you Mr. Boxing. You know, long-time journalist, Mr. Daily Telegraph, Mr. I think we should call you Mr. Everything.
Mr. MMA,
Bellator, everything, the whole lot. Anything to do with throwing a punch, Gareth is always there.
What?
Kick, elbow or knee you can include there.
Well. Yeah, you're rubbing your nose like you've been on some powder. What's the matter with you?
No, I don't do powder.
We don't do things like that, Gareth. Come on, what's the matter with this guy?
I drink tequila.
Okay. Yes. Little show.
Have a little tipple in for your health right now.
Yeah. Of course you can. No problem. Of course you can, mate.
To your health, with great respect.
Right. Let's get. Can we get serious, gentlemen?
Yes.
And let's talk.
Let's
boxing.
Get serious. Let's get serious.
Come on, fire away, Spence. Fire away, Spence.
And all I had to get me home was BBC Radio 2 and some sound.
Excellent.
Okay. Well. The major thing that we have to speak about is the Dillian Whyte Alexander Povetkin fight on the weekend. Give us your thoughts, Gareth, on what happened.
Well, we saw one of the greatest knockouts in heavyweight boxing history. No question, single punch knockouts.
Absolutely.
No question about it. Could live in any era with any knockout. You know, the Mike Weaver knockouts, those kind of things. Really, really amazing. I thought Dillian's body looked cold early in the fight. I was there live. I thought he looked cold. And that was just my instinct. I thought he had a great game plan with the jab and the body shots. And I thought he was controlling the fight. He was watching Povetkin's tricks. And I think he just made a mistake for one moment. And Povetkin may never throw and land a punch like that ever again.
I agree.
It was like the perfect knockout uppercut punch, transfer of weight to the left foot, and it just shows that you cannot write off someone with pedigree in the heavyweight division.
Absolutely.
I wish Dillian had jumped on him when he was ahead, and that's my feeling now in retrospect. I think Dillian could have afforded to jump on him a bit more, but in straight lines rather than getting trapped on the ring as he was in that moment. And he missed with hooks. Povetkin said he'd prepared for it. White said he'd done the same hundreds of times, but it's a similar punch to the one that Anthony Joshua hurt him with as well. So...
We just spoke about that.
The same you know, punch.
But I feel for him as well. I think poetic justice wasn't done. You've got a feel for the guy, but he's a risk taker. But you know what? Because of his background, because of his upbringing, because of the way he is, because he's a genuine fucking warrior.
Yes,
he will come back from this.
Come on, and that's what we've been saying. You know when we got when the fight happened.
The rains arrived.
Yeah. When Dillian got stopped, Tundi, 10 seconds after the fight, Tundi phones me crying. He was crying so much, right? I'm not going to lie to you. Like, we've grown up with Dillian. We've known since a little boy. I had to question my loyalty to Dillian White. I said, bro, how come I'm not crying and this little Nigerian man's crying?
It was so upsetting for me, you know, because as you said, Gareth, you know, we know what Dillian's been through. The stuff he's had with the WBC and the waiting and the risks that he's taken that he didn't really need to take.
He had to take that. I mean, Dane Powell would always say to us, when you're number one spot, just wait. You're going to get your shot.
Yeah, and he could have done that. But as you said, Gareth, quite rightly
he's
said
a warrior.
That, you know, he's a risk taker. He's a warrior. He wants to be active and he wants to entertain. But... I totally agree with what you're saying. You know, in any era, that would have knocked out anybody. Great punch, great delivery. You can see that he practiced that punch thousands of times because it was just a perfect punch.
It was perfect punch. And you know what the thing was? This is like how he tricked the jab to close the distance and then throw the uppercut. He was doing that from round two. He was looking for the uppercut, but he was actually trying to look for the opening. There's times where he hit Dillian to the body and you pause. Because he was looking for that uppercut. And there's certain times where he would throw the uppercut and it hit Dillian on the chest because Dillian had very high hands and it would fold over. And as he would fold over, it hit Dillian in the chest. But he was looking for that shot.
Gareth, tell me something. I mean, in all your time...
Can I ask you both, though? Did you think Dillian looked loose enough? I didn't think he looked loose.
Yeah, I do have, you know...
Hindsight's a great thing.
Hindsight's a great thing. But I felt the same. I just... There wasn't really no, and that's why that was leading on to the question I was going to ask you. You know, in all your time corresponding in boxing, have you ever, what's the feeling now that, you know, there's no crowd? What kind of sense do you get? And the feeling or the reaction, you know, what it does to the fighters, what you feel, does it, if you feel it does anything, you know, do you feel these fighters, it's kind of a situation where I was saying to Spencer that, it's now like every fight is a 50-50 fight because, you know, the quote unquote, there ain't no home fighter. There ain't no home crowd. It seems like a level playing field. What's your sense? What kind of sense do you get being in an arena, with an empty arena, no crowd?
Well, the O2 has definitely become Dillian's home. There's no doubt about that.
100%.
You know, that walk into ACDC and that energy in there that comes. I'm not joking. There were only 60 people there on Saturday night, and the adrenaline dump was immediate. Silence. I think it would have been the same kind of silence.
Wow.
That greeted Anthony Joshua being knocked out by Andy Ruiz. It drains something from
See?
You.
See, this is what I was saying. This come and talk on this, Gareth, please.
My voice felt, I hadn't been shouting, but I felt hoarse afterwards. It's really weird. It took me longer to write my piece because you're trying to take it all in. You know, yes. I'm filing on deadline and talking to the radio straight away, and it drains an emotion from you that's so deep, you know, because you know this guy's waited 1,000 days as well. There's that personal level to it. You know, yes. You wonder, and you feel like that. You fucking wonder how he feels.
I imagine, you know what yes. I mean?
But the only blessing, in a way, is he wasn't beaten up and knocked out. He was just knocked out.
Yep.
So
yep.
He didn't see the punch coming. So when he wakes up, he walks straight into Eddie's interview and says, get me the rematch, Ed. Get me the rematch. And I like the emotionality of Dillian anyway. I'd like him to be a bit edgier in fight week. I like him when he's fucking moody. I don't like the calm and collective. With his back against the wall. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Do you think like he's becoming a bit more polished? Or like as
Mickey
said...
Well, he is becoming more polished.
Yeah, as Mickey said in the Rocky movie, you're getting civilized. Do you think... Like, he's getting a bit too... I like the bad man Dillian. I'm being real. I like that Dillian where he's like, yeah, come. But the thing is, more of it, I think he's getting more confident within himself. And as he gets more confident within himself, I thought Dillian did some really good things in that fight.
Correct.
Like, really, really good things. I like how he's rolling in, throwing left hook downstairs to the body. I wish that he came upstairs with a left hook. He did some really, really good things. But on the same thing as well, it's like, this is my opinion. And I could be wrong, but I think he gave Povetkin too much respect.
Totally. Okay. He tried to outbox the boxer when he didn't need to.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Okay. That's what I meant. I mean, listen, it's easy with hindsight. It's easy that's sitting from one of the four media chairs that were there.
Yes.
Sorry I kept you so long. You even need to eat your dinner, look.
Spencer's ate, we've got a whole box of Krispy Kremes, and Spencer's ate literally the whole
really
box.
Nice.
Come on,
all right, go, I'm still in shape, so I'm trying.
I'm convinced Dillian will be a world champion because I think he's going to be the boogeyman for one of them. It might even be Tyson Fury, you know?
You know what? I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
How do you feel that?
If he gets into range of that left hook, and he can knock anyone out with that left hook. Anyone.
And Dillian's had, you know, quite a few tough fights. You know, the Joseph Parker fight, he was knocked down. I think the Rivas fight, he was knocked down.
Rivas, he was knocked down.
He was knocked down.
Over from an uppercut as well.
Yeah. You know, don't you feel that, you know, these kind of fights are, you know, could take a, you know, have an effect on Dillian moving forward? Because they're not, you know, these ain't easy fights. And, you know, I don't feel that, I was saying Dillian, you know, just take your time, don't rush, you know, get yourself back and then just go again. But, you know, I don't like to see fighters going through tough fights back to back to back to back, you know, at this level. What's your opinion on that, Gav?
Well, as long as he's being paid well enough, I'm happy for him. You know,
he's getting paid.
You know, he won't want to be hit by a punch like that again. Definitely.
Yes, yes.
But you know what? He's a big man. I tell you that.
He's Dillian's
a big man. You know, he's a genuine heavyweight. I mean, I'd forgotten how big he was and stood next to him this week last week in fight camp and went in the Winnebago with him, which was lovely.
Yes.
But I just think. He's got, afterwards, when his career's over, he's going to be someone with a real clear message, you know?
Yes.
And I think that message will drive him. And I do want to see him in against Anthony Joshua again. I do want to see him in against Wilder. I do want to see him in against Fury.
Yes.
Because he's just, I'm just interested in the build-up of those fight weeks and what happens in the fight. Because he's still developing.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of heavyweights have been good in there. What's he, 33?
Yes.
Heavyweights have been good from 31 to 35, 36. So,
yes. I mean,
you know,
Povetkin is 40.
He's got three more years. Povetkin, 40.
Yeah.
Yes.
But different kind of... I mean, look
at a different pedigree, though.
7 years ago against Klitschko. I mean, you know.
Yes.
You know, the game's a game. And it is a very, very unforgiving sport, especially if you're looking for forgiveness. But I'm being real. Because Dillian has this, he has a real toughness about him. He has a real mental toughness as well. And I spoke to him on Sunday morning. Sorry, Tundi.
Yes.
I spoke to him on Sunday morning. And he was like, look, I said, bro, what on, are you all right? He said, Spence, seriously, if I wasn't all right, I'd tell you. I'm good, you know. I just got caught. I know what I have to go work on. We're going to get the rematch in November or December. Now, we know that the rematch, not the rematch, but Pulev is challenging Joshua for his version of his world titles. And that fight's going to be in December. It's going to be hard to sell a pay-per-view, two pay-per-views in December. So they're going to have to push, most probably pull that fight forward. And it's going to be in November. And fair play to Povetkin. He's already spoken out through his management as well, saying, look, I'm a man of my word. I'll give him his rematch. He deserves his rematch. I'll give him his rematch. I'd like the fight to be in Russia, but we that's going to happen. So, but he was saying I'll travel wherever. So because of that, I'll be really looking forward to that rematch. And if Dylan White was getting beaten up in that fight, I would be very, very hesitant to say, go and take the rematch. But in my mind, I had him still up on the scorecards, especially with the two knockdowns. I had him up on the scorecards. And it's not a fact that, you just got caught because the guy planned the shot to catch you with. But you weren't getting beaten up. And because you wasn't getting beaten up, I believe that you can come back. And because I know Dylan White and his mental toughness, that he will come back. And fingers crossed that he's victorious in the rematch.
I completely agree. He's got a mental tough. I think we've seen it. He's responded really well. I mean, he gives it, but he's taken it very well. You know, he gives it on social media, doesn't he? I mean, I'm not in that world, but he takes. I think he's taken it well. He took his licks. He came back well. All the things he said are right.
Yes.
And he's going to be hurting. I mean, he's bound to be hurting, but he's a grown man. He's a proper grown man. I love him to death. I think
he's brilliant. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Dylan said to me, you know, on Sunday on the phone, he said, I'm sorry I let you down, but trust me, watch. That was his words. Just watch the rematch. I'm going to knock him out. So he's full of, you're going to say something, Gav? I think
you can tell in the relief of some of his rivals, their reaction to what happened to him.
Yes.
You know, almost.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, listen.
But it does enhance the speed of Fury and Joshua taking place, I think.
It does.
It does. Very much so. But they both got business to take care of themselves. And we've seen that, heavyweight boxing, you literally can't take your eye off the ball for 1 second. So,
that's right. It's about knockouts.
And so Tyson Fury's got Wilder and Anthony Joshua's got Pulev. How do you see those fights going, Gareth?
Joshua stops Pulev in 6 or 7 if he boxes right, in my view. And I think he will. And I think, I'm fascinated. I think Wilder's just going to come out throwing this time. It's going to be amazing. I think it'll be a Hagler-Hearns.
Yes.
It could be a Hagler-Hearns in the heavyweight division, but if Fury wants to, he could sit back and box this time and counterpunch. You just never know, But in sporting terms and in event terms, they're fascinating. The clashes of culture, who deserves the undisputed title of this generation. We're very lucky to be in this period, in my view. We're very lucky. I mean, you know, people compare them to, the great golden age of the heavyweights in the 70s and say, but they couldn't have lived, none of them could have lived with them, or they couldn't have lived in the 80s and 90s with Holyfield, Bo, Riddick, Bo, Holyfield, Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis. But, those comparisons are odious in a way because, these are the people now.
That's correct.
That's what we've got, But I just think we're lucky to have all these guys who the world is actually interested in seeing them do it. And the world's also fascinated at how weird the game of chess is in negotiating in boxing. And how, from the top down, the biggest money is the most complex fight to put on. And you, as you were saying just now, you can wait the longest.
Yes.
Yep.
Heavyweights can afford to wait when they're big. And Dillian's a box office star, so he could have waited.
And it's just like, what was it? It was Riddick Bowe in 93 when he was going up against Evander Holyfield again. And he said, "We ain't the greatest, but we're the latest." Right? And that's it. Who's here now? And I'm saying, there are certain guys, in the 70s was incredible, right? And we just got to be real. Come back in Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Ken Norton, but George Foreman. But then there's other guys that we don't want to call. Oscar Bonavina could fight, right? You watch the first fight that Oscar Bonavina had with Joe Frazier. You'll know what time of day it is. Watch the first Jerry Quarry versus 1769. That was Jerry Quarry versus Joe Frazier. Watch that fight. If you want to learn inside fight, it was stuck on him. Them two were on each other's chest like they were bedlining. It was one of them ones. It was like those.
Spence, let's keep it up to date.
I'm keeping it up to date.
Let's keep it up to date.
But I'm saying to you, in those times, okay, fighters, the game's changed now.
Yes.
Right? And I don't ever want to be, well, it's not like in my day. I don't want to be like one of those guys. I'm being appreciative of what's here now. And more so, I'm appreciative of guys who want to go get in there and fight the best that are around. Dylan White's one of those guys. That's why he's commended. Anthony Joshua's one of those guys. That's why he's commended. Tyson Fury's one of those guys. That's why he's commended. And we've seen this two times now that Wilder has gone in with Tyson Fury. So he wants to fight the best as well. He should be commended. So it's a great time for boxing.
And I would be remiss if I didn't get your opinion on Frank Warren's young heavyweight, Daniel Dubois. What do you think about him and what do you see in his future?
Well, I mean, obviously he's got Ricardo Schneider's. Are we going out before they fight?
I don't know who he is. I don't know, but I know who Daniel is.
Is your podcast going out before they fight?
Gal, it's down to you. They're fighting on Saturday.
They're fighting on Saturday.
Yeah, no, they're fighting now. Nah.
Because you're too special for you to rush. We can't rush you.
We don't want to rush that. It'll be after.
We can't rush you, Gary.
But, you know, Daniel's...
Friday special. Friday Fight Pass podcast special.
Yeah, you know what? Gary, you got to put it out early now, man. So, that's it. Gary,
go. I'm very interested in hearing your opinion on Daniel. Obviously, the fight and what you feel his future holds.
Well, we know the record of Ricardo Schneider's is the Dutch heavyweight champion. He's got 8 knockouts and 13 wins and 1 loss. I think I'd have preferred him fight Eric Pfeiffer.
Yes.
I think that would have been a genuine test. Great amateur pedigree. Watched him at the Olympics. Big, rough, tough guy. Really good fighter, I think.
I heard he was a good... I heard that would have been a fight. I did hear that.
Yeah, I want to see someone counter Daniel when he falls in. You know, because he does fall in sometimes, or when he throws a huge right.
Yes.
He's there for a right counter, isn't he? And, you know, you want to see him get hit almost because...
Maybe Joe Joyce is the person to do it.
Yeah, he could well be. I mean, I expect Daniel Dubois to come through this in 4 or 5 rounds. Again, it's a very difficult atmosphere in that BT Sports studio. There is no atmosphere. It's just, you know, it's a 20-meter walk and they're in the ring, aren't they? And it's not a giant ring either. So I think Daniel will do a number on him and, you know, he'll say a few nice things afterwards, you know, that he's going to keep trying. And we don't really know him
yet. He actually sparred with Povetkin. I know he sparred with Povetkin maybe earlier, late last year, I think he did. And I heard some good reviews over that. But, you know, sparring is sparring and, you know, Frank is speaking very highly of him. And, you know, I heard Frank speak saying that he's willing to take on Dillian right now.
No, well, if prior to Saturday, I would have said it was too early. But now, I mean, I liked Frank's PR move. I thought it was very smart to come out and say, me and Eddie need to meet and let's do these matchups. I mean, 6 out of 10 of those fights, I was salivating. But probably 4 out of 10, you just can't make. They're not going to be made yet.
Yes.
But I think Daniel Dubois is, well, the whole Dubois package of Caroline Prince, the younger brother.
Yep, who a lot of people don't know
Daniel,
about. Yeah.
And Dad Stan, it's just all a great story.
The whole family can fight.
There's even a younger one than that.
And you know, Stan's like the sergeant major, isn't
he? Yeah, trust me.
They are on the leash.
They can't go nowhere.
And credit to him for that. Credit to him. Yeah. I sat down with Stan, the little one, Prince, who's already 6'1", 15.
Yep.
You know? Caroline and Daniel one day in their local leisure centre, they were about to do a strength and conditioning class with this wrestling guy.
Yes.
And they're just like, they're so chill with the world.
Yeah, because they were born to be fighters, nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, I remember...
But the dedication of Stan, though, is incredible.
Absolutely. Like, he's from my area. I've watched Dan and known Dan for Stan for a long time. And he told everybody, when Daniel was... a little bit, he said, my son will be heavyweight champion of the world. So he's definitely, you know, he's got this thought in his mind and he's had it in his mind for a long time. And yeah, it's going to be an exciting journey.
But I think Daniel could have been a javelin thrower in the Olympics.
Absolutely.
He could have been a fast bowler for England if he got into that. you know, a number eight for England rugby if he'd got into that. He's got, they've got, and Caroline is so
nimble. When she's very nimble. But, nimble is the word, yeah.
She's beautiful. She's almost, she's Southpaw. She is, she's Southpaw.
Yeah, I think she's Southpaw. Yeah.
She almost moves like a Mayweather, you know?
Yes. Yes.
I've heard she's got skills, man. She's got skills.
So unbeaten.
Unbeaten.
She's unbeaten as an amateur.
Yeah. Their skills will pay the family bills for a long time.
Sorry, someone else is trying to jump on our thing, you know?
Absolutely. Who's that?
Gary. Someone is trying to jump on the room. I think it's Parker, you know? Joseph Parker.
Oh my goodness. We got Joseph Parker in the building as well, ladies and gentlemen.
It's too much powers. It's too much powers. Hey, what, bruv? Can
good
you
morning,
send?
Good morning.
Yeah, can you send me some Mario Lego, please? Because I've got three kids.
Send me your address.
I'm gonna send it to you. You think I'm joking, right? But them blinking Lego pieces. Have you ever stepped on the Lego pieces, Gareth? Have you ever stepped on a Lego piece when you're walking around, bruv? You wanna go kill someone?
Not for about 45 years.
Stop showing off, Gareth, that you look young. You know what I mean? You know you've got.
My kids are 30 and 28, so that happened a long time ago.
Yeah, but Gareth, you still look young, brother. You're following Tundi. Do you use cocoa butter?
Cocoa butter.
Yeah. Now, all I've got to say is I've got chills. They're multiplying. That's yes, it.
Yeah.
We're just.
Hey, how good are these videos in lockdown? Oh my God!
I'm telling you.
You kept us entertained for 5 weeks.
Listen.
I'm glad that you were entertained. I mean, there was nothing else to do, really. You know, all I had was time on my hands. I had training. I had the kids, and then looking for something else to do. So we had a lot of fun. It was good, and I'm the positive thing about it was that it gave a lot of people positivity and smiles and laughs, and that's all we could ask for.
We got to get your take on last Saturday's fight, Joseph. Dylan and Alexander Povetkin. What did you make of the whole situation and the fight itself?
That situation right there, for me, is that that saying comes in where one punch can change everything. That's exactly what happened. I mean, Dylan White was controlling the fight, and I thought that Povetkin was out. I thought that the next round he's going to come out and Povetkin's going to be taken out of there. He's going to be knocked down twice, but it just shows that the last thing that sort of leaves you as a heavyweight or as a fighter is your power. And I mean, he pulled that left uppercut out of nowhere. So, and that changed the whole fight. I mean, that ended the fight.
Yes.
Right. What do you think Dylan should do now? Because he's talking about the rematch, but in your honest opinion, where you've been a world champion and straight after losing your world title, you come up against another hot prospect in Dylan White, which was an incredible fight, which is a really good fight. And it's like, I think that was the first time you ever got knocked down as well. I was really shocked at that.
First time.
The first one was actually a headbutt. You do realize that, right? The first, he kind of threw a shot and he hit you with a head. But the second time when you went over, there was a legitimate left hook. But you had Dylan going in the last round, right? Is that why you're calling for a rematch, or you have been calling for this rematch?
Oh, I've been calling for a rematch just because I know what I can do in the fight. I mean, it was. Listen, I said it many times that he was a better man on that day, but I know what I can do, and I know that I can do.
It's frozen.
We
could perform better.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, don't worry, man. It's
I
not
think
your fault.
What Dylan should do, I mean, he's a proud man, and he backs himself. And there wasn't a lot that he could have done better in the first fight. I mean, he was controlling the fight and actually leading. So
I think he's just
being cautious that one fight. He just
pardon? Sorry. Do you think Dylan will be a world champion one day?
I think so. I think he's just. I think because he's driven, and also he's just he's aggressive, and he knows what he wants, right? And the way that he took this loss, it was actually quite impressive. It was good to see. And he was real humble in defeat.
Yes.
But he sort of just stood back and goes, okay, this is what happened. I have to come back and do better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not like one of those defeats where you get defeated and all of a sudden you're angry at everyone. And like, I mean, he's grown as a fighter and as a person throughout his career.
You have.
Beautifully said.
You have.
Yep.
Listen, your fight with Dillian, if I never said it to you, I worked it ringside.
Oh, did you, Gareth? But I didn't know you did that. Did you really?
No, but we were doing the radio. When you're doing radio, oh my God, it was so. It's one of my favorite fights.
It was a very exhilarating fight.
You know, I'm sorry you lost, but it was. Oh, that's okay.
It's all learning. It's learning, right? I mean, but if we can run it back, I would love to have another go. I respect him as a fighter, as a person. We do keep in touch, but if we had the chance to have a rematch, I'll take it in a heartbeat.
Yes, sir. Right. So, what does the future hold for you, Mr. Parker?
What's next?
Because the gentleman who you beat in your last fight just came over here and got beat by one of Dylan's proteges. So, like,
yeah, saw that.
Okay, yeah. But it was a little bit quicker than when you beat him, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to cause no trouble. We laughing for Gav. Why is Gav trying to instigate?
You just caused trouble.
That's all he does. That's all he does, Spencer.
I got to stir it up.
Joseph would blow Babich away, I'm afraid.
You know what?
No, Babich is good. I like his style. Nice and aggressive when it comes forward. I don't know how long he's going to be aggressive for, though.
Cruiserweight.
How long can he keep up that aggression? I mean, he's still learning, and he did knock him out faster than I did, and good on him. And I texted him as well after the fight. He's a good fight. He did awesome, and there's a respect between us both.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. I'm impressed by just the fact of Babbage's demeanor. Like, he just wants to come and fight. And, like, he was telling, like, look, shut your mouth. You know, he's like, shut up. I'm going to come and kill you. I was like, yeah, man. I like this, bro. But you know what? Heavyweight boxing is heavyweight boxing. There's so many guys in the mix now. So, like, for you to get back in the picture now, what are the fights that you want? I mean, me and Tunde Ajayi on the Fighters Right been talking about it. So what fights would you want right now? Right now.
Because
Gareth got the hookup.
Sora or Povetkin or White. I want any of those guys or anyone in the top 5 or 10. I mean, I don't care who it is. I just that's the fastest way to get to the top is fighting the best in the world, and I want to fight the best, and I've been vocal about it. I know my last 2 opponents haven't shown that because it was last minute opponents, but I want to fight the top 10 in the world if I can, if the team can make it happen.
Yes, sir. Well, this is the fight, right? The fight is right. Anything can happen.
Yeah, we won our 10%. We're going to make some phone calls for you right now. you see this guy.
First it'll be the Lego, and then 10%,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. Then 10%. But the Lego, definitely, because I've got like 3 young kids, mate, who get me nervous certain times, but I love them dearly. But no, what I'm saying is this, like, when you fought Anthony Joshua, yeah? You fought Anthony Joshua, you fought Dylan White. Where would you... I know you're very close to Deontay Wilder. I don't know if you've sparred or not, but I know you guys are close, right? If we used to rank the heavyweight division right now, how would you rank the heavyweight division?
If I had to rank it right now?
Yeah, like your top 4. Top 5, maybe.
Fury, Joshua... I know Wilder's still there. White and myself.
Okay, so Povetkin's not in the argument then.
I'm just saying.
He did get a good win the other day. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. You know.
Runner up.
No, you want me to tell our editor Gary to just chop that bit out?
No.
But there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of heavyweights at the top level, and there's also a lot of heavyweights coming up, and it's just at the moment the heavyweight division's on fire. And there's some great fights to happen, and there's great fights to be made, and I want to be involved in the biggest fights there are.
We're fortunate. We were saying it before you came on. We're very fortunate to have this era. You know, there are 4 years of fights to be made, and then you know whether it's Dubois or Hergovich or whoever comes through at that stage, there are 4 years of you, all you guys, 7, 8 and above.
At the top.
Let's keep doing it. You know,
yeah,
fantastic.
Would you fight behind closed doors, though?
I'll fight anywhere, anytime. I mean, if it's I love boxing and I love fighting. And I've been training so hard since my last fight. I want to get in the ring. I don't care where it is.
So you take a pay cut behind closed doors, yeah?
Yeah, I'll take a pay cut. Whatever I can do to get in the ring.
He don't need to worry. He's making loads of money, man. Ain't you seen his Lego advert? He's cashing in.
What kind of bird is that?
Huh? City?
What kind of bird was that?
It was a seagull. I have no idea.
I think you, do you want to get rid of me so you can talk to Joe?
No. Listen, Gareth, don't disrespect me. You know,
Gareth, mate.
Yeah, you know how long I've known Gareth? I've known Gareth for a very, very long time. I remember me and Gareth.
25 years?
Yeah, yes, about that. Yeah, I remember being in Vegas. It was
April.
It was, I ain't gonna expose you for that. It was April 2008. Joel Kawasaki versus Bernard Hopkins, and I remember my card wasn't working in America. I went to go draw out some money, and Gareth said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "Right, this thing's not working." And Gareth said, "Oh no, I've got some money to give you. I would never take it from him." Never. But what I'm trying to say, it was a nice thought and gesture, my friend. I don't forget these things.
I don't remember that. But you can all, I will always do that for you.
Yeah, I know, because you're a good guy, like.
Gareth, do you want my bank account number?
No, I want your artistic director to work with.
Listen,
the quality of those videos.
Bro, the singing videos, I'm telling you, you know what I mean? That is another, seriously, over the lockdown. That got a lot of people. Oh, because it went so viral that they were playing it on terrestrial TV in the UK, like on the news, on BBC, it was on ITV. It just went nuts. What made you come up with that?
The first one was just a Love Actually one, and we knew it was one of those movies where a lot of people. It's a famous movie, so we thought, why don't we do something else to spread and then tell people to have fun at home, you know, and spread positivity. And I think from there, we just got, you know, from the messages, we're like, okay, well, let's just continue, see what we can come up with. And if you guys have any ideas of any movies or scenes that you want to, you know, chuck out there, let me know, and I'll do my best.
Come on.
All right, there's a movie called Rolling with the Nines, right? That was gangster movie. Right, Rolling with the Nines. Go Google that one, right? There, go do that one, man.
Spencer makes his cameo, 5-minute cameo in that video.
Yeah, a mafia one would be good, like The Godfather.
That would be good, or even Goodfellas.
Okay. Yeah, Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Send me a list.
Why do you think I'm funny?
And we'll try.
Yeah. I'd like you to do This Is Me, the Bearded Lady.
I'll try that.
From The Greatest Showman. It's brilliant.
Oh, The Greatest Showman.
From The Greatest Showman. Yeah.
Okay.
That's too
hard. Well, seeing as we're speaking about films, what's your greatest film, Joel, before you got to jump off? What's your best film?
Greatest film?
Yep.
To be honest, I just go back to The Rocky. Yeah, I'm pretty boring with the...
Okay. Which Rocky one, though? Which Rocky movie?
The first one. First one's there.
Okay. And you, Gareth, what's your favourite movie?
Favourite movie? Ooh. I've got a couple of movies in my head from recently. Revenant.
Revenant, yeah.
Yes, that's a wicked movie.
Oh, I watched it on a giant screen. I sat right in the front. It was just unbelievable. And I love the history of the fact that there's no written history of that time. I know it's colonial and all that shit, but it was extraordinary those people managed to survive out there. And the movie 1917 from recent, unbelievable.
Wow. You know, I haven't got to see that movie, but now you've mentioned it, I'm going to go watch it.
It makes you want to be a young man at war, weirdly. It's like the thrill.
No, I just think that's
shit going on.
Your nature.
Not really, but
I think you're a war kind of person, Gareth. What's yours, Tundi? Your favourite movie?
It's got to be, like Joseph, it's got to be one of the Rockies, but it weren't Rocky 1, it was Rocky 3, just because you can relate to Mr. T and go back to the ghetto. So Rocky 3 was the one with Mr. T, and I always remember Mr. T saying to Rocky, understand, hey woman.
Remember that? Why you bring your printed self to my apartment? I'll show you what a real man is.
Yeah. So it's got to be Rocky movies, but yeah, all in all, I like all films. So let's wrap it up. It's been great talking to everyone. Joseph, we're looking forward to your return because a very, very exciting fighter, you know, one that heavyweight division needs. And as you say, any of those fights, Chisora, Povetkin, AJ again, Dylan, it'd be great fights. And Gareth has said it, you know, we got 4 years of heavyweight boxing, a kind of roulette. You know, you're wearing roulette, we're in an era where one can fight the other, and I know nobody wants to lose, but you know, we can lose and then run it back again. It's a great time we're living in.
How amazing would it be if we ranked the top 8 heavyweights right now and they had a proper tournament over 3 years?
Oh, that's it.
That'll be awesome.
And like someone really big invested in it and it was available to the whole world on like on a YouTube channel.
It'd be amazing.
You know what?
I think it's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible.
Because it sounds crazy. Because like it is possible. When you go back to like 1986 when the HBO did that tournament. And I remember like Frank Bruno,
Don King
put all together, him and Butch Lewis, and Frank Bruno Witherspoon was like second doors of one of the fights after, what was it, 21st of September, I'm nuts like that, 21st of September 1986, when Larry Holmes loses to Michael Spinks, the first fight, because he equaled Rocky Marciano's record, but he didn't surpass it. And at that time there, that was like, they didn't think it was going to happen and it happened. They did it. And then this young kid from Brownsville, New York, came out of the blue, knowing it, no, he was. And then he comes out and it's Mike Tyson. He just destroys everyone to become the undisputed champion. It's so possible that this could happen right now. But the difference is, the networks and the money and like, because then it was like, one network in HBO, which was the biggest, said, "Right, we're pumping this money in," and everyone went crazy. Yep, it could happen. But you know what? It is possible. It can happen because there's a lot of money. You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if China put up money for something like this. Now you put that out there, Gareth. You got to write something for the Telegraph on this and mention the fight is right with Joseph Parker, Bubba Tunde Ajayi, Gary Blake. That's right.
Listen. If they can pay Canelo, DAZN can pay Canelo.
Thank you very much. Listen.
For 10 fights. If Mayweather against Pacquiao can generate $700 million, if Floyd Mayweather against Conor McGregor can generate $600 million, how can 12 heavyweight fights or whatever it would be, or 9 heavyweight fights between the top 8 in the world, how could that not generate $1 billion?
Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I am with you guys 100%.
Yes, sir.
Right. I'm getting on the phone to some people right now. You know I've got my links. Right?
Let's do it.
Let's do it, bro. Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an honor and a pleasure having the one, the only, Gareth A. Davis, joined by the man himself, Mr. Lego, Joseph Parker.
Thank you guys.
Thank you very much, sir. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe to the Stamina for Soul YouTube channel.